Starter up, my men! Starter, my men! Don't hurry yourselves. Take plenty of time, but starter, starter like thunderclaps, that's all!" cried Stubbs, spluttering out the smoke as he spoke. "Starter now! Give him the long and strong stroke, Tashtego! Starter, Tash, my boy! Starter, all! But keep cool, cucumbers is the word! Easy, easy! Only starter like grim death and grinning devils, and raise the buried dead perpendicular out of their graves, boys, that's all! Starter!" "Woo-hoo-ah-hee!" screamed the gay header in reply, raising some old war whoop to the skies, as every oarsman in the strained boat involuntarily bounced forward with the one tremendous leading stroke which the eager Indian gave. But his wild screams were answered by others quite as wild. "Kee-hee-kee-hee!" yelled Dagoo, straining forwards and backwards on his seat like a pacing tiger in his cage. "Kalakulu!" howled Queequeg, as if smacking his lips over a mouthful of grenadier's steak. And thus with oars and yells the keels cut the sea. Meanwhile, Stubb, retaining his place in the van, still encouraged his men to the onset, all the while puffing the smoke from his mouth. Like desperadoes they tugged and they strained till the welcome cry was heard, "Stand up, Tashtego! Give it to him!" The harpoon was hurled. "Stern all!" the oarsmen backed water. The same moment something went hot and hissing along every one of their wrists. It was the magical line. An instant before, Stubb had swiftly caught two additional turns with it round the loggerhead, whence, by reason of its increased rapid circlings, a hempen blue smoke now jetted up and mingled with the steady fumes from his pipe. As the line passed round and round the loggerhead, so also, just before reaching that point, it blisteringly passed through and through both of Stubb's hands, from which the handcloths, or squares of quilted canvas sometimes worn at these times, had accidentally dropped. It was like holding an enemy's sharp two-edged sword by the blade, and that enemy all the time striving to wrest it out of your clutch. "Wet the line! Wet the line!" cried Stubb to the tub oarsman, him seated by the tub, who, snatching off his hat, dashed the sea-water into it. Partly to show the indispensableness of this act, it may here be stated that in the old Dutch fishery a mop was used to dash the running line with water. In many other ships a wooden piggin, or bailer, is set apart for that purpose. Your hat, however, is the most convenient. More turns were taken so that the line began holding its place. The boat now flew through the boiling water like a shark all fins. Stubb and Tashtego here changed places, stem for stern. A staggering business, truly, in that rocking commotion. From the vibrating line extending the entire length of the upper part of the boat, and from its now being more tight than a harp string, you would have thought the craft had two keels, one cleaving the water, the other the air, as the boat churned on through both opposing elements at once. A continual cascade played at the bows, a ceaseless, whirling eddy in her wake, and at the slightest motion from within, even but of a little finger, the vibrating, cracking craft cantered over her spasmodic gunwale into the sea. Thus they rushed, each man with might and main clinging to his seat to prevent from being tossed to the foam, and the tall form of Tashtego at the steering oar crouching almost double in order to bring down his center of gravity. Whole Atlantics and Pacific seemed past as they shot on their way, till at length the whale somewhat slackened his flight. "Haul in! Haul in!" cried Stubb to the bowsman, and facing round towards the whale, all hands began pulling the boat up to him, while yet the boat was being towed on. Soon ranging up by his flank, Stubb, firmly planting his knee in the clumsy cleat, darted dart after dart into the flying fish. At the word of command, the boat alternately sterning out of the way of the whale's horrible wallow, and then ranging up for another fling. The red tide now poured from all sides of the monster like brooks down a hill. His tormented body rolled not in brine but in blood, which bubbled and seethed for furlongs behind in their wake. The slanting sun playing upon this crimson pond in the sea sent back its reflection into every face, so that they all glowed to each other like red men. And all the while jet after jet of white smoke was agonizingly shot from the spiracle of the whale, and vehement puff after puff from the mouth of the excited headsman, as at every dart hauling in upon his crooked lance by the line attached to it, Stubbs straightened it again and again by a few rapid blows against the gunwale, then again and again sent it into the whale. "Pull up! Pull up!" he now cried to the bowsman, as the waning whale relaxed in his wrath. "Pull up! Close to!" and the boat ranged along the fish's flank. When reaching far over the bow, Stubb slowly churned his long, sharp lance into the fish, and kept it there, carefully churning and churning, as if cautiously seeking to feel after some gold watch that the whale might have swallowed and which he was fearful of breaking ere he could hook it out. But that gold watch he sought was the innermost life of the fish. And now it is struck, for starting from his trance into that unspeakable thing called his flurry, the monster horribly wallowed in his blood, overwrapped himself in impenetrable, mad, boiling spray, so that the imperiled craft, instantly dropping astern, had much ado blindly to struggle out from that frenzied twilight into the clear air of the day. And now, abating in his flurry, the whale once more rolled out into view, surging from side to side, spasmodically dilating and contracting his spout hole with sharp, cracking, agonized respirations. And at last, gush after gush of clotted red gore, as if it had been the purple lees of red wine, shot into the frighted air, and falling back again ran dripping down his motionless flanks into the sea. His heart had burst. "He's dead, Mr. Stubb," said Tashtego. "Yes, both pipes smoked out." And withdrawing his own from his mouth, Stubb scattered the dead ashes over the water, and for a moment stood thoughtfully eyeing the vast corpse he had made.
This ends Disc 9.